Hey, my friends, what's going on? Welcome to the Astro Hustle. I'm Corey Allen. The cells that remain to be stuck together that create some organic matter through which a fountain of consciousness seems to continuously arise and resonate out into the world. And then people out in that world make mouth sounds to respond to the waves of resonance coming out of said arising consciousness. The vibrations that move through air continue to sound like Corey whenever they refer to me. And so, that is what I'm going with. So I am Corey Allen, as far as I can tell, and that's what I'm going with. I hope that you're doing good, and I hope that you're having a good day today, and I hope that the matter that makes you up is filled with goodness. I've got an awesome, awesome podcast for you today. I'm really excited to share it with you. My guest is Joe Patitucci. Joe is the founder and director of Data Garden, as well as a musician and artist and so forth. So Data Garden, his company, really is at the cross-section of several of main interests of mine, which is consciousness and music. Him and his team have created a couple of different things. One is called MIDI Sprout, and another is called Plant Wave. And in essence, what those things do is if you clip them to a plant, it translates the electrical signals in a plant into musical notes or musical information, so you can essentially hear a plant playing an instrument. It's a really fascinating technology, and I had just a really wonderful time talking with Joe. I mean, he's such a good guy, and we share a lot of the same interests and go all over the map in this podcast, so I know you're going to enjoy it. If you're in the San Francisco area, I will be at Book Passage on November 21st, doing a book event, doing a reading, signing books, all that type of good thing at their Ferry Building store. So come on through on November 21st, the Book Passage, San Francisco, Ferry Building store. Come by, hang out, and let's get in the now together. Also, if you happen to have just a tiny, tiny moment, I would deeply appreciate it if you shoot over to iTunes, rate the Astro Hustle 5 stars. It's very helpful for the show to continue to expand and grow and all of that good type of thing. So you can go over there and manifest, bring 5 stars into being, into the universe, by simply navigating yourself to iTunes and giving the Astro Hustle a quick little rating. But truly, it helps bring in more awesome guests. And it will also free you from the 6 realms of samsara so that you can transcend this dimension and evolve into a nebulous cloud of awakened awareness. All right, my friends, the time is now. It's always now. Inescapable cyclical process of human consciousness in which the future and past are simply illusions. And let's go talk right now to the great and wonderful plant whisperer himself, Joe Patitucci. Feel good, ready to go?
I feel great, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thanks for asking.
My pleasure. I think that could be an entire podcast just right there.
There it is.
The check-in. The check-in podcast.
That's effective.
Yeah, I could release a lot of them every week, too.
We transmitted a lot of information there from our hearts through our voices.
We did, yeah. And most people often feel deceived by what seems to be simple on the outside, but really that was full of complexity.
Yeah, I mean, we can go through the motions of just like talking for an hour or whatever and see if people find that valuable too.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they'll see that the remaining, everything we say from here on out is basically all encapsulated in that first couple of seconds, really.
Exactly. We're just slowing it down.
Yeah, we're time slicing and pulling it apart. And yeah,
totally.
For sure.
We're zooming in.
Yeah, yeah.
For those of you who are a little slow, here it is.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. And I'm really excited to talk to you because everything, as far as I can tell, that you're doing is really just intersects with many of the things that interest me the most, that being sound and consciousness and inner life and all that type of good thing. So thanks for coming on to start with.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So I want to just kind of get into your plant wave and MIDI sprout situation from the get-go so that everyone knows what they're dealing with here. I mentioned right where we got started, but Duncan had pointed me your direction to check out what you're developing or what your team is developing, and it's so cool. And so the plant wave essentially is, well, let's start with Midi Sprout. So Midi Sprout, is Midi Sprout still available?
It's not. So we basically discontinued Midi Sprout, and we're just making Plant Wave, which is going to have all the same functionality as Midi Sprout, but plus a lot more.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So Midi Sprout, essentially, for anyone that's not familiar, is you can connect two wires to a plant, and that will transmit the electrical signals and impulses from that are moving through that plant through these wires into your device, which then translates that into MIDI signals, which, for anyone that is not familiar, which is probably most people, MIDI signals are a type of information used in music production that essentially, if you were to play notes on a keyboard and it was connected to your computer, you could track the time in which note that was being played as it's being played. And then if you go back and you could press play on your computer, it would scroll through. And since it tracked everything you'd touched on your keyboard, it could then play that back through any type of device or instrument or anything that you've got hooked up to said computer environment. And so what's amazing about that is that you could have, you know, even a modular synth, which I got one sitting right here next to me. You could have that sitting there. You could have a plant on your desk. You could have these electrical wires connected to the plant going into your computer. It's feeding, you know, electrical impulses, which are being turned into MIDI signals into your computer. Then that computer is feeding those signals to your synthesizer, which is creating sounds. So you could literally have this live conversation. You could just hear your plant talking to you through your instrument. That's amazing.
That's the simple explanation.
Yeah, definitely. And I'd love to hear some of the more complex explanation. But and then Plant Wave, and please fill in the gaps here, is basically taking that, because not everyone has, you know, a music studio and a DAW to or even the interest to try and translate something into MIDI messages. So what you all have done have taken the same concept but made it to where you can connect those same electrical wires to a plant, and then it goes into your iPhone. So it's basically on iOS. Is that right?
Yes, pretty close. Like, so yeah, so MIDI Sprout, actually we had an iOS app, and we had a package MIDI Sprout for iPhone. So basically, yeah, you could connect your plant to your phone and listen to your plant play instruments that are on your phone. You can listen to your plants play music in real time. The problem with that was that with MIDI Sprout, there was it was a wired connection, which meant that if you wanted to listen to your plants for a long time and you wanted to keep your phone charged at the same time as having this thing plugged into it, you couldn't. And also, the MIDI Sprout didn't have a rechargeable battery or any way of powering the device other than AA batteries. So if you wanted to keep your MIDI Sprout running for a long period of time and tune into it whenever you wanted to, you couldn't. So with Plant Wave, we've added a battery, a rechargeable battery, USB charging, and also USB for data transfer. So if you do want to plug it into a digital audio workstation, that works. And then it also has Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. It actually sets up a Wi-Fi network, and you can connect to it from your phone. And we're going to have the new PlantWave app, which is going to have a lot of different sound banks and instruments that you can choose from. So you can just listen to your plants playing different music for different moods or different times of the day. And then it also is going to have an 8-inch MIDI output, which you might see on, Teenage Engineering might have it on some of their stuff. 8-inch MIDI output that you can plug into a MIDI synthesizer. So if you want to use it in that way. And another great thing about it compared to MIDI Sprout is that MIDI Sprout just output. So if you're a technical user, if you're a person that would use this with a synthesizer, with MIDI Sprout, it was chromatic. That's the way the notes were coming out. It was just the notes were just all the notes. But with the new app, and actually even without the app, you can basically log into the Plant Wave from Wi-Fi, like from a web browser, and change settings on the device. Like you can change scaling settings, you can you can reroute MIDI. So if like you want the MIDI to come on a different channel, or you want the CC routing to do something else, you can do all that. So it's actually like a way more robust tool for the tech people and like the super music producer people. And it's also just like a way more easy to use consumer product on the other side, where like, you know, anybody, like your grandmother, could like buy this thing, hang it on a plant, and stream it to her phone or the iPad or whatever, or Android, whatever it is, and have and like listen to the music that's being played by the plant in real time.
Yeah, that is so cool, man. I can't underline how awesome this the plant wave sounds to me. And I'm definitely have to get one. I was seeing my future as you were talking about it, as I'm gonna have a plant wave connected to, you know, a modular or something like that, and I'm going to go in, I'm going to tune it to just intonation, and I'm going to sit back, and that's going to be my life for until I starve to death or something.
Cool. Well, you know, yeah, you can be like a sounditarian or something like that. You're going to discover a new way. You're going to, like, plants are like eating light, and you're going to be like, well, if a plant can eat light, I can eat sound that's generated by the plant.
So, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
that
I really encourage you to follow it, man.
Yeah. If there was any sense based thing that could give life, if one were to ask me, which I guess I'm asking myself, it would definitely be sound. Because I've felt more life from sound than anything in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Like I've gotten more energy, I've gotten more medicine and meditation and restorative energy and insight and everything. Like my whole theory on kind of the cosmos is that it's a rolling wave of resonance. You know, like just all matter is a three-dimensional or plus. It's just tidal. It's a bunch of overlapping tidal waves that are all responding to each other. Hence, also that connects to the interest in just intonation. All right, so that was super nerdy for everyone, but probably you or me. So I was trying to query my brain, which is, you know, sometimes more successful than others, and I was thinking like the first time I heard about something like your technology. There was a artist named Mylise that so you're hip to Mylise, or you probably maybe been in touch or worked together or something like that.
She was part of the inspiration for.
She was okay. Cool. This.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
So what was she? Because I remember she has like one. I think she only has one album that came out like 15 years ago or something. That's so cool. What was she using then? Anything similar? Or?
She has her own custom hardware that she made and like software that she's done in Super Collider. And I believe her hardware also, I think it's voltage, where ours is like basically galvanic skin response. Like ours works based on how much water there is between two points in the plant and the plant varying that. And we graph that as a wave, hence plant wave. And then we translate that wave into pitch. And then we run that into synthesizers and sounds. I'm not exactly sure how hers works. I believe it's voltage though. So like, it's actually like plant microvoltage.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So you pointed to her as kind of some of the inspiration. What else, where did you get this idea from, and what really inspired you to bring it to life in such an amazing way that you've done?
Man, it was like a total journey. So I started my company. So like PlantWave is a product of my company Data Garden. And I started Data Garden in 2011 as a record label, as a zero waste record label, for like my ambient music that was always inspired by being in nature. So I really like had no idea that where this would go. But I just was really interested. I would go out into the woods and record sounds and then come back into the studio and find the melody in the wind and translate and then, like, hear that melody. And then I would try to play that on a synth or something and then build a whole song around it. Then I was like, cool, how am I going to release this music? So I started Data Garden because I wanted to release that music in a non-wasteful way. Like I recognized the need for humans to have a physical object, but I also wanted it to be a zero waste record label. So we started releasing these albums on these, we basically made these like little 4-inch album covers, like 4x4-inch album covers that had a download code on the back and then seeds embedded in it. So you could take that and plant it in the ground and it would grow into flowers, or you could put it in a pot.
Beautiful.
And have like a whole plant shelf replacing your record shelves. It's kind of the vibe. Yeah. So that was like kind of where this started. And then, you know, we had a blog and it was all about like plants, music and technology. So it was just like constantly, that just became the world that we were living in. So then that's when we started like researching, like, cool, what is this relationship between plants, music and technology? What's like, what are things people were doing with synthesizers and plants back in like the '70s, or what were, or just like this history of electronic music and like, you know, minimalism and like generative composition, like all these things just started to come like way more into our field as we were like curating this blog. And
Alvin Lucier really came to mind over started reading about this at first, because you certainly, that's got to be a touch point for you at some point in your life. Okay.
Like controlling a whole bunch of like timpani drums with his brain.
I want to unpack that for listeners, that because you and I are in a very specific knowledge base with this this type of art. So Alvin Lucier is a composer, you know, one of the really founding figures in 20th century kind of electronic / classical music, where it was more conceptual based than anything. And so one of his pieces was he hooked up like electrodes to his brain and then had those connected to like a hi-hat and snare and I think a timpani drum and some other like some gongs and stuff. It would sit there on stage and just like grimace and sends different mental, you know, like they just change the electricity in his brain and it would send signals to these drums. So he'd be playing like a one man band of avant-garde, like textural noise and kind of polyrhythms just with his head. And he also did another amazing piece, is the I'm Alone Sitting in a Room is another great one. For if anyone's going on a Googling spree right now, that's another incredible one. Okay. So anyway, sorry. So all this, you know, specific recent musical history was filtering into your life. And
And then we were doing festivals and stuff to promote the label. And it was all about like doing installation art. And we would normally hire other people to do them. And then we were invited to do something at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. And originally we were just like set to kind of do a pop-up record store there with plants. And but then we kind of figured, and we're like, wait a second, there's this opportunity to do something really cool here. Like, we're in the art museum. Like, this is cool. Like, what do we do? And, you know, I had also been interested in Bartholomew Traubeck, who did, he did a piece that many of you may have seen where it's like he uses a cross-section of a tree and he puts it on a record player. And then, like, based on the darkness or lightness of the tree rings, it like makes it triggers different notes. So that was an influence. And then I think the biggest aha thing for me was I went to Moog Fest in 2011 and I saw Brian Eno's 77 million paintings. And 77 million paintings is an art installation where Brian Eno like took all these different paintings that he made in his life and put them through a computer program where the computer program would slowly fade between all of these paintings over time. And it would happen so slowly that you would never, that if it just played forever, it would never produce the same image twice. For like 450 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like super slow. And then there was like a sonic aspect to it. And it was just like this really awesome room where you just like lose sense of time. And when I went to see this, I was there with my friend and we're in there for a while. You know, phone's off. I don't think you could even bring your phone in the room. And my bud's like, all right, hey man, you know, I get it. I'm going to go back outside. Like I'm done here. And I was like, cool, man. I'll be out in like a half years. Hour, you know, yeah, in 400 years. So I'm in there and I was just like, so in awe and just like, so relaxed. It was just so amazing. And, yeah. And I go out a half hour later and it's like dark outside. It was like 4 hours past. My bud's like, dude, what? Where were you? What?
I have that on DVD, I think.
Whoa,
that,
really?
That Eno piece, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a long DVD, dude.
Well, I think it's perhaps an abbreviated version, oh, but cool. They didn't let the full script go. Yeah,
that must be expensive.
It's a 9 million, 9 million box set, DVD box set.
Oh, sweet. That's great. Yeah.
Anyway, I love that piece. It's really cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that just blew my mind. And, so then, you know, that was a big influence. And, you know, so my buddy, Alex Tyson, who was, you know, a co-founder with me, and he was like, well, let's do an installation. He was really into like all the kind of Secret Life of Plants, psychobotany stuff that was happening in the 70s, where people were hooking medical equipment up to plants to see if they were conscious or to like kind of study their consciousness. And he was like, well, let's take the plant biorhythms and let's have the plant biorhythms control musical compositions. And originally, this was going to be done. I'll give a very brief history on generative music. So Terry Riley is a composer, and he did this piece called In C, and this was like early generative composition. And generative means that it's like not predetermined. There are certain rule sets that are established, and then those rule sets allow something to emerge over time.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry Riley with In C, he basically gave all these people in an orchestra these different phrases that they could play.
So I think it's 54 phrases, right?
54 phrases. Yeah, so he gives them all these phrases, and I think they all start out on one phrase, and then they can shift and they can select whatever phrase they want after that. And then you kind of hear the orchestra kind of morph. And it's a really beautiful piece. Mm-hmm. So that's like one of the earlier harmonious generative music pieces.
And then did you know that you're one of the few people you'll find this interesting is that, you know, Reich gave him the pulse idea for In C.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was, he was trying to figure out how to unify the phrasing of all the, cause since the performers can all make a decision on, you know, how long or, you know, how to approach each phrase before moving on. Mm. He was trying to figure out how to like hold it together and he couldn't really figure it out. And so Steve Reich like came over and was hanging out and he's like, oh, you need a pulse, man. So that's why they have like the taped marimba pulse going.
Cool.
Pretty interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was basically the idea was that we were going to use these plant vibrations to select different phrases that were pre-composed by Alex on a synthesizer. So Alex wrote all these phrases on synth and they sounded awesome. And then, my buddy Sam Cusimano designed the hardware from an old Radio Shack lie detector that allowed us to get the plant information and design custom software. And then my job was going to be like, okay, cool. How do I, how do I allow that data to select the different phrases and how do we make that work? And then when I saw the data coming from the plants, it was like, yo, these plants are playing like 10 notes every second. Like there's a lot happening here. Like to only give these plants the ability to select what happens once a measure, which might be like once every whatever 15 seconds or once every phrase, like a four measure phrase or something, is like, that's not giving a real window into what's going on here. Like this is like getting deep. So, So like 3 days before we were going to do this installation, I just spent, I don't know, I spent probably like 20 hours. I just was up all night. I was like, oh my God, like this data is so rich. And I started to design instruments and like this algorithmic way of translating, of translating that data into single notes so that the plant could play every single note that the listener would hear. And the notes would be a real time expression of what's happening in the plant. And so that's kind of how it happened. Like it, and it was really just to, it was, we were doing this as a way of promoting our record label that was just like an ambient and experimental music, whatever. It was like a non, yeah, it was originally just like a way of promoting the record label. And then when I first hooked this up with the engineer, Sam, yeah, we plugged it in, and just a little more info on how this works. So like I said, we're getting this wave from the plant that, and we're measuring that and translating that into pitch. And then I design instruments that are all in a key so that it's harmonious and that you would want to listen to it for a long period of time, because it's important for people to listen for a long period of time because plants are very, the changes are very subtle. So you want to listen for a longer period of time to hear those subtle changes. But there's another aspect to the data. So how quickly the plant's wave changes gets translated into control data, which like, if you think of like a knob on your car stereo, we're basically giving the plant the ability to turn knobs.
I love right? that.
And so we can set those knobs to switch instruments. We could have those knobs switch effects on and off, or change the, or like make something echo or make something resonate and sound blissful. So I remember sitting there and Sam hooks up this plant, and I wasn't sure if it was actually the, I wasn't sure if he was just running a test and running data through the sound system that I developed or what. But you know, I heard the music start and I was like, whoa, oh, is that the plant? And he turns to me, he's like, yeah, man. And I was like, whoa. And like, right. Like I just felt this, like my heart light up in like wonder.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, I saw the reverb turn all the way up and a resonator trick on.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, and it got like super blissful. And I was like, whoa. I was like, yo, did that just respond to me? And he's like, I don't know, man, but it's in the data. Like, I don't know, but like something just happened. It just like, it just totally changed in that moment. And, so I was like, whoa, that's really cool. I also thought it could have just been like staring at clouds.
Sure.
Too. So then when we did this exhibition at the Philadelphia Museum of Art, and there were thousands of people walking through this space every day, and I would just sit there and I would observe. And we had four plants in a room. Each plant was playing a different instrument. And there was a speaker next to that plant where you could hear just that plant. And so if you were like in the middle of the room, you heard everything. It was just like the symphony. So I was sitting there just watching people interact. And every once in a while, somebody would walk in and the music, the sounds from the plant nearest them, which is completely change. Like it might go up an octave, or just like the effects might turn on. Things would just happen. I'm like, whoa, what's that? And then all the other plats would shift too. Like, so it would start in one place. So I could kind of triangulate where things happen. So I get up and I go over to the person. I'd be like, yeah, this might sound crazy, but I just saw that when you walked in the room, the plat seemed to respond to you. Like there was just a total shift in the data from the plat. And then each time I said this to a person, I expected them to just be like, what, are you crazy? Like, whatever, man. But each time I brought this up, the person was like, oh yeah, of course. I'm like, what do you mean, of course? They're like, oh yeah, like I have a really deep relationship with plants. I'm a Reiki master and I'm super connected to subtle vibrational energy. Or I'm an energy healer, or like, yeah. So like all these other, like I'm a botanist, I'm a florist, right? Like all these people that have these like deep connections with plants or subtle vibrations. And yeah. And then, so that's what like witnessing that made me realize that, you know, of course plants are processing light that we can't see. They're eating light that we can't see. There's a lot outside of our visible light spectrum. And plants are these amazing antennae for that. And by listening to plants, you're actually getting this window into another dimension. You're expanding your ability to perceive. So that's kind of that's how it all started, I guess. And having that experience made me realize like, oh, there's something else, you know, there's this other way of being. There's this other way of being a human and being sensitive, like highly sensitive to energy. There are these other senses that we can really cultivate. And by listening to plants, we can use this system as a tool to heighten our awareness. And so since then, yeah, my life basically changed after that.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. It just sounds like what you're doing is you're like hacking subjective reality, because given that, have you read that book, What a Plant Knows by Daniel Kamovitz, I think it is?
Not yet.
Oh, it's a sweet one. I think it's right up your alley.
Sounds like it.
But it just goes all into the five senses of the plants is what it calls them. And the guy's actually a scientist, you know, it's not like a speculative kind of woo. It's all based on research and what have you. And, it's really, really fascinating, how the forms of communication that plants do to even each other that we didn't know until, you know, even the last, you know, 50 years or so, really interesting. But, so speaking just for example, like the notion that they're responding to light bands that the human eye doesn't see, by connecting plant wave to one of those plants and it's, you know, what it's sensing in objective reality is becoming abstracted through its little, you know, plant nervous system going into the plant wave, and then since that's being translated and mapped out into sound in this case, then we can hear that. It's very interesting, is what's happening is like turning the plant into this antenna for a dimension of our reality that we physically cannot perceive because, you know, we don't have the right organic stuff in us, but we're able to move this thing around and know what else is going on out there in the world, in the objective world, without being able to perceive it through our sensory systems, but through a conduit of another life form. I think that's just truly, truly fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's going on. And, you know, if you think about it, I mean, like everything functions in that way in a lot of ways. Like, I mean, having a conversation is that, right? Like you're not me. I'm not you. Like, I don't know what you've experienced. I don't know the filter through which you are experiencing life. And by having a conversation, I'm expanding my capacity for empathy and for understanding human capacity and all these other things, but just by having a conversation. And so we're always, as humans, doing this in some way. We're always like interacting with the world and allowing other beings to open us up to new realities and expand our awareness. And I think, yeah, it's just like now it's time for plants to have their turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if anything, it could be, you know, one of the most valuable things I ever experienced, perhaps the most transformative insight and awakening experience for me, which has really mapped the rest of my life after it, was waking up to my subjectivity. You know, one day after, you know, a lot of meditation and psychedelics and reading of neuroscience and psychology and so forth, I've told this story a couple of times before, so I won't go into it again, but basically I had this flash after repeating this Buckminster Fuller phrase over and over again, non-simultaneous interactive apprehended processing. That was like his engineery way to describe basically the self, not only subjective perception, but also the self-organizing chaos of the natural world. Mm. And by that phrase, you know, places the observer within that self-organizing structure of being. Mm. Anyway, I was repeating that like a little mantra, sort of like a, OCD person. And it was like Rain Man. Walking around, and that basically just clicked. It's that thing where, you know, knowledge has to intersect with life for it to become wisdom, you know, and whatever the thing was at that moment, the thing I was remembering soaked into the fertile soil of my consciousness and clicked. And it was like, I instantly went from knowing that as a concept to experiencing that as a reality. It's like, oh, wow, I'm perceiving right now, and just the entire abstraction of everything that I know, everything I've ever known, everything I can know and can perceive is contained within this bubble of my own, you know, my genetic inheritance, my cultural reinforcements, and then all of the things that I've deprogrammed, undone, and then allowed to come forward, and then the explorations and so forth of where I've scratched the horizon of my own consciousness to see a little bit further, but just recognizing that you're locked in this impression of reality, and that we all are, and that everyone is right and wrong all the time at the same time, because we're all just taking these impressions of the world outside of our skin, hence arguments and religious wars and politics, you know, political conflicts and so forth. Because like, no, the world is this way. And this person, no, the world is this way. I'm right. I'm right. Well, you know, it's like, well, hey, gentlemen, you're both right. Okay. The thing is that you're wrong together. You know, anyway, that way of thinking is so crucial in my mind for the development of self-awareness and the opening of compassion, because once you see that we're all just these little like nerve endings observing this tiny, tiny slice of reality, then you realize, like, okay, well, I don't know anything, much less everything. Everyone else's way of even talking about their world, they're describing a dimension that I can't experience. Mm. So as you said, be quiet and listen, and you might learn not new things about our tactile world, but learn new perspectives and new shades of color about life and their reality itself. And I think that's such a tough thing, this concept we're talking about. I'm sure you get it, you know, but for the normal average human critter that has no interest in philosophy or an inner, you know, their inner life or any of this type of thing, to try and explain that concept to someone cold, to where it is transformative for them, is really, really challenging. I mean, I don't know if one can be taught that. I think, you know, it's one of those things that one has to be interested in and then realize it for themselves over a long period of time. However, something like, and not to put any pressure on Plant Wave here, but something like Plant Wave is a really fascinating potential tool for maybe not even in all the terms and the direct kind of intellectual way that I just described the experience just now, but maybe it will give, could give people some insights into, wow, there are other signals, there's other information out there that I didn't realize was out there. And that small insight, even if they don't have to wrap it in all of the deconstructed understanding of it, it might open that door to them, even on a subconscious level, moving forward in their life, going, you know, maybe there is more out there. And if someone can have that thought by itself, that is a huge, huge brick in that wall taken down.
I agree. Yeah. And, not, and it's not only that there's more out there, but there is more in here. Mm-hmm. And there is more that we're putting out than we may recognize, right? So you know how it feels when somebody walks into a room and they're just like exuding good vibes. Mm-hmm. And you know how it feels like when somebody walks in and it's just like a dark cloud just like came into the room. Now some might say that if you know how that feels, that you're like too sensitive or like, oh, you're projecting or something like that. But that's my opinion there is just that that's because we haven't prioritized that level of feeling in our society.
Also it'll cut through if you get to the extremes enough, like go to the New York subway and like, you're going to feel some people will get on the train that you're like, ooh, don't know eye contact.
Yeah,
you know, that person's tense, and you know, counterpointal to that is that you go to a Buddhist monastery somewhere and meet a monk, and you're like, oh, that person's got this beautiful, placid, open presence, you know?
Yeah, and then like, you know, at the same time, in our culture, we do recognize it when like the energy is super amplified. So it's pretty common in a sports game when if there's a huge play that happens that changes the momentum of the game, where an announcer will say that the energy change in the state, like you could feel the energy, you could cut the tension with a knife or like any of those things. Like we get it. Right. But like you're saying, like, yeah, there's more out there, but there's also more in here. And part of my practice of listening to Plant Wave, part of my practice of having this as a part of my life is when I hear a huge shift in the music, I use that as a prompt for myself. And that prompt is to say, not only like what has shifted in my external environment, and like is the plant responding to something outside of me, but also to use that as a prompt to say, what's shifted within me in this moment? Like if I am emitting this energy and I'm putting out energy and the plant just changed something, like how am I feeling? Like what's going on? Did I just have a thought, or did I just like, you know, is there tension in my body, or am I like vibrating in love, or what's going on? And I actually have, if I may quote Terence McKenna, this was actually a really huge, I found this quote right around the time, like just a little bit after the time I started experiencing these wild things with plants seeming to respond to humans. And, I was on YouTube and I heard him say this line and I wrote it down. So, Terence said, biological systems are amplifiers of quantum mechanical indeterminacy. They're a way of taking the smidgen of indeterminacy that exists at the microphysical level and coaxing it into a kind of macrophysical cascade, which is life, consciousness, and self-reflection. So it's like these biological systems, like plants and all these things, they're this, they amplify this, you know, the quantum realm, right? So this, like the quantum realm is like this realm of multiple possibilities. And, you know, that's like a wave, right? So we're in that like kind of wavy liminal period. But then once something becomes crystallized, a thought or a feeling or something become like it chooses what whether the wave is on or off. Once consciousness hits that, it's like the biological systems are amplifying and resonating that. So in the same way, plant wave is actually giving humans a way of hearing that resonance.
I love that. And that McKenna quote and everything you said after, it's I'm right there. I've also felt that way for some time. It's like, you know, if you think about it, a life form like a trumpet, like there's air in the atmosphere, but not until that air is organized and then pushed through do you hear the sound, right? And so like we are the instrument and there's life, like we are life, we're amongst it, but it's all around us. And what comes through us is we're like the acoustic guitar body and the resonant waves of quantum energy. And I mean that in a literal sense, not in like a Deepak Chopra sense, but like the literal quantum waves of being. As they resonate within an individual, it creates the tone of your guitar or your trumpet or whatever, and that is your consciousness. And that's, you know, a lot of broad brushstroking there, but it feels to be. So I got a lot of that opened a lot of doors for me, what you were saying. What do you think about consciousness in the sense of how it exists in universe? Do you think of a reductionist? I can't imagine you do think of a reductionist materialistic type of ways. It's only in the brain and the hard problem is something that physics will figure out. Do you think panpsychism? Do you think non-local river of consciousness and where antennas, where are you at in that whole, the game of consciousness?
Yeah. I mean, for me, consciousness is all pervading. There isn't anything that isn't conscious. To me, I mean, everything has a consciousness to it in some way. Rocks have a consciousness to me, but it's like a much slower consciousness than we might be able to perceive. I just feel like everything. I mean, we don't know, right? I don't know.
Right, right. No one knows. Yeah.
But you know, I guess that's the perspective I take, is that everything is conscious, and it all has its own relative consciousness, a consciousness that serves it in its existence. So it might not make sense to me as a human who has my own particular view of what consciousness is, but everything is to me conscious.
What's interesting you say that is that, you know, that's basically panpsychism, and that theme has been coming up more. Like, I haven't been seeking that theme. You know, that panpsychism is a concept that Thomas Nagel came up with like in the 1970s, but only in the last like year or two, I have had philosophers of the mind and neuroscientists coming in and talking to me more and more and pushing that theory forward as something, with a real legitimate foundation in science. I'm on board with panpsychism. There's a lot of nuance and detail that has to be described whenever we're talking about it to clarify what one means whenever we say that there's consciousness and everything. You know, this is the aware of like, well, does a rock have sentience? Does it have self-awareness? I would say no, but does it have consciousness? Yes, but it's outside of the bias of how the human critter defines, like, well, what is consciousness, right? They think, well, if it's not like me, then it's not conscious. Like, well, that's not necessarily true. It's like, well, a plant isn't like you, but it's, I would say, plants clearly conscious in that it's responding to its environment and each other and sending messages and signals and so forth. And anyone that wants to check more on that, I would say check out that book I mentioned, What a Plant Knows. It goes deep into it. It's really fascinating. But yeah, man, it seems to be, you know, an emerging theory and concept that is really starting to go more into the mainstream, which makes me quite happy. I wonder also how you feel, given that you have this deep, not only connection, but you have a kind of under the hood insight about plants, from a very specific point of view. How do you feel about munching on those little guys?
I mean, seeing that everything is conscious, I think that every time, you know, every time we're taking a, every time we're eating, every time we're taking something into our body, you know, it is a sacrifice that I think it's important that we as humans recognize. So I am omnivorous. And I think, you know, every time I eat, I would say most of the times I eat, sometimes if I'm like snacking, I don't necessarily do it, but I'd like to do that as well. I stop and I take a moment and I like to recognize the being that, is allowing me to, be nourished, that I want to recognize that being as a valid conscious being, that I appreciate. And also I want to, like, it doesn't need to be this kind of vibe of I'm eating you, or, you know, or, or of conquering or anything, like this kind of food chain vibe. It can also be this collaborative vibe. It could be I don't know what your dreams were, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's the highest expression of this being, of this plant being, of this animal being, and how can I be a vehicle for the highest expression of that being in my life? And how can we work together now that this plant or animal energy is coming into my body? I mean, the idea that it's my body is ridiculous too. It's mm-hmm. not my body. I'm part of the universe. So as I'm taking this, as this being is like becoming a part of this body, it's just, I'm viewing this from a consciousness of awareness that there's this co-collaboration, this co-creation that's happening, this co-creation of human body and other being, transforming into this energy and into more body, into future body, into future action, into like all of these things. And so that's how I feel about eating food as a human being.
Did you almost say humans?
No, I don't think so.
Wait,
we
a
can
second.
Check the tape.
Yeah. And we are recording this. We're doing a time, speaking of Riley, we're doing a time lag accumulator right now. I've got a couple of tape, you know, machines set up, and
cool.
This is going into one and then that's passing on to the other and so on. No, but seriously, that's a beautiful, and I really appreciate that way that you describe that. That's, I'm right there, man. I feel like, the same way. And I do the same. Actually, in my book, I even put a little thing about pausing before you eat to respect the, nothing theatrical or saccharine or whatever, but just that quick, like, hey, okay, like, I see you, you see me, okay, next, you know. But it's a beautiful, you know what I mean? Because to put all this emphasis on it turns it into a self-indulgent, an act of the ego, you know, in which it should be everything but that. It's the, as you mentioned, and I love that you pointed this out, it's the dissolving of the constructs of ego by recognizing, like, I'm not even, this isn't my body. I am like amongst the universe. You know, it's like we are contents of the universe, not the other way around. Mm. But people, since our consciousness emanates from our our minds, we tend to think, or our heads. We think that our head is the sun casting light through a dark universe. So we're the middle of it all. But really, we're essentially underwater, you know, we're swimming around in this thing, and we're part of it, of the whole thing. That's what I think. And so I think eating is a really beautiful way you described there, is like when you take something in, or merge, when you merge with some biofuel, just taking that with the intention of like, I'm going to try and like take this fuel, whether it be plant or, you know, animal or whatever it is, or human in your case, and and doing something right with it, you know, like I'm going to live the expression of my being and how I show up in the world and the intention which I move through life with positivity and compassion and openness and a constructive mindset, as opposed to just passively eating and passively living. And I think that's a beautiful way to honor not only yourself, but the life and planet that surrounds you.
Yeah, man. I appreciate that. 'Cause yeah, it's also like, let's face it, man, this shit's crazy. Right? Like, what?
Indeed.
Look at your hand right now. Like, what in the world? Like, we have hands. Like, that's crazy. Like, I don't know. I don't know anything else. So I guess it's not crazy. You know, some people might be like, what drugs are you on? And I'm like, I don't know. I just drank coffee. But I mean, it's wild. It's wild. Like, what? Like, we have facility of this body, and it's magical. Yeah. I mean, it's such a privilege to be on Earth, and, I don't know. We get to have this experience. We get to laugh, and we get to cry, and all these things, and we get to learn about ourselves. And I don't know. It's wild. It's fun. It's cool. So yeah,
it really is, man. And it's like, once you, I think it takes some kind of clearing away and some undoing, but then you'll realize that, not you, but a person will realize that consensus reality is actually the most psychedelic and surreal of all the mind states.
Whoa.
You know, like,
what do you mean by that?
This, like, being awake in this moment of consciousness, in living life, like we'd all do organically, is the most far out state of being.
Mm.
The fact that, like, to take, you know, to be in a psychedelic state or some state like that, that's altered, seems far out because it's unfamiliar, but it's really just more like static. But this normalcy and the fact that it all hangs together, that in the fact that it's so consistent and fluid, and rarely, you know, other than cases of mental illness or physiological injury, has any schisms, that is so far out. Like I spent this long period of time just like, why isn't there more like just like banana stuff happening? Or like, why isn't the wall folding in on itself, and someone's like standing on a table in a restaurant chewing on their arm, and like there's just like insanity? Why isn't there just chaos? And, you know, it's like, because like the order of how all of our natural world, and therefore our consciousness in an organic way, is consistently tuned, unbreaking. There's never any gaps in it, you know. The fact that it all works, and the depth in which we can even, you know, engage with our organic presence of mind is so, so, so surreal and far out that, like, you never need another drug again if you can be open enough to sit back and actually see what's going on when you're just completely sober.
Yeah. I feel that. And I think another part of that is, yeah, it's like, why isn't stuff more crazy? And a lot of it is that just we as humans, or we in society, have decided to see a particular reality. And we've decided to be Well, we've decided to create comfort for ourselves in certain ways, and we've decided to be comfortable with certain aspects of discomfort. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. Like, and every society, like different societies, have their own concept of what is comfortable and what's not comfortable, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, what's, yeah, there's like purity and danger and that right. whole thing, right? So, right. yeah, it's kind of cool that everybody, you know, humans, we all have, and then as individuals, we have our own perspectives, you know, whether we're vegetarians or we're keto or we're whatever, you know, there's all, everybody has their own kind of like reality tunnel. And yeah, and just understanding that that's a trip. You know, mm-hmm. that's a trip you're choosing. And, yeah, if you can understand that, and it doesn't mean that you can't, that you shouldn't take yourself seriously or take what you believe or what you want, how you want to live your life seriously. You can still do that, but then also recognize that it's a trip, but maybe it's a trip that you're called to experience. Maybe that's part of it. You're just like, hey, yeah, I'm vegan because I'm called to be a vegan on this planet. Like, I'm called to like live in this way, and that's what I'm supposed to do. That's like, I'm, you know, like, I don't know. Like, everybody has their own thing they're here to do. And it's really cool. I love that. It's really cool.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, you can even look at just the causality of the natural world, and, you know, not even the world, but the causality of the universe, of the cosmos, has a near, and it might as well be, infinite line of knock-on effects, which will inevitably lead you to being a vegan or whatever it is. So to fight the causal wave of your own, you know, that's been going on for 1 billion years or 2 billion years or whatever, that has resulted in us even sitting here right now and wearing the shirts that we decided to put on this morning. Or maybe you're not wearing a shirt. I don't know.
wearing a shirt. I'm not wearing any pants, right, though. I hope that's okay.
No, well, that's a rule that I have. That's what I send out on all, you know, every time I set up a podcast, I'm like, make sure and have a good pair of headphones and no pants.
All right, cool. Then we're good. Yeah. Good. But I do have socks on, so we're good.
Yeah. That's fine.
I saw that line. So,
yeah, it's in 72 point font.
I have a good lawyer, dude. So, you know, it's on it.
Yeah, so if anyone breaks that, I'm going to go do the American way and get litigious.
Cool.
But hey, anyway, Joe, man, I really, really enjoyed talking to you. I love speaking of just vibes and resonance and so forth. I love whenever I get to speak to someone who I feel like you are like the exact personality and interest group of someone that I grew up with, you know, like my friends, like just coming up in the music world and stuff, and just all the ways of seeing life and sound and all that. It's really great to talk to you and connect and just feel all the beautiful things you're bringing. And I'm really excited for Plant Wave, and I can't wait to hold one in my little meaty little human flipper hands whenever the time comes.
Yeah, man, I'm really excited. Thanks so much for having me. And yeah, I mean, yes, I'm really excited to get Plant Wave out there. And yeah, it's just so cool to see, even with our previous device, like the way it's opened people up to these new ways of seeing, and the way that people are using it to activate community and and it's just by being with a musical plant, people are like learning how to meditate. They didn't even mm-hmm. go into it trying to meditate, but then they just find that they feel calmer afterwards. And it's just really cool. And yeah, and it's great when people like you have a platform that are, you know, amplifying these resonances, right? And amplifying these resonances for this connection to the cosmic and slowing down, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's why I take it real sincerely, not seriously, but sincerely.
Right on.
Because it's like sending a signal. The show sends a signal out there, right? Mm-hmm. And I want that signal. It's just like, oh my God, I just had an M. Night Shyamalan. I just realized I'm the plant.
Mm.
And the podcast is the microphone is the wire. The podcast is plant wave. And I guess, you know, the divine spirit is the critter that's hooked me up to the thing.
Yeah,
weird.
Yeah, like none of like I didn't choose to do this in a certain way. You know, like I didn't choose to make Plant Wave. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, there's a certain, in a way I can say that I did, but like it chose to come through me. You know, it just like, mm-hmm. it just like, I, you know, I was just like following my inspiration in different weird things. And then like it synthesized and it crystallized and it gets more clear every time. And it's like, how can I serve in allowing whatever is supposed to happen through me, happen through me? And then it's just like, I'm just like looking around like, I don't know what the hell is going on. It's like, whoa, like, I'm just like, you know, this thing is just like coming through me. It's like, whoa, what is this? I don't know. Yeah, there it is.
I used to say that I felt like the meat of my body was mine, but my skeleton is possessed.
Mm. Wow.
Because it's, yeah. exact, it's just what you're talking about. You know, it's like, it's, but I think really once you break down a lot of those foundational barriers and borders and boundaries and programs that we're all taught before we even learn, before we even know how to talk, it's all pounded into our heads. Once you break out of that, you can begin to allow the fullness of all that you are come through. And the more that that happens, the more you get your intellectual mind out of the way and put that in service of your natural brilliance and your intuitive arising, like pre-conscious intuitive arising, and allow that to start forming the cyclical feedback loop with nature and being, then there is no like effort. There's just allowing. It's mm-hmm. like, well, how wide and how deep and open can you open that channel? And that's where something like meditation becomes very valuable. It's like creating all that space. And it's so hard not to grab at the stream because you're worried that it's going to go in the wrong direction, or that you just have to get your fingerprints on it. You've got to control it because the ego knows best, but it's so tempting. But it happens sometimes, but the more that you can just let the stream come through, then amazing things start happening. And it starts being like, it's a real head scratcher because it's like, as you're talking about, how were you possessed to even know how to make Plant Wave and MIDI Sprout and have this whole pathway? It's like, well, you just got out of the way and allowed yourself to walk through the hallway, and it all unfolded into like, now you're living in a world that you couldn't have even have conceived of. Right. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah. My plants are making way more interesting music than I ever could have played myself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
uh-huh. It's like they're uh-huh. playing the music that I've always wanted to be able to like figure out how to play. But I like designed the system for them to do it. And then it allowed me to get my ego out of the way. And just like, let it stream straight from the source.
Mm-hmm. Mm, love that. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks again. You are awesome. And, I can't wait to be great to chat again once, Plant Wave comes out.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we'll get you one, and yeah, and we'll have a little more to talk about there too, of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Thanks again, man.
Thanks, Corey.